Hey folks, thanks for being a member of the Cafe Insider community. In addition to the Cafe Insider podcast and my weekly note, you also get bonus material from my interviews on Stay Tuned with Preet. This is exclusively for you. Hope you enjoy it. I was going to ask you the question, what advice do you have for young writers who are coming into a difficult profession right now? And I realize I do want to know your answer to that question, but I want to make it more broad and ask, what advice, if any, do you have to young people who are entering the economy generally, whether as writers or anything else, given how bad things became literally overnight? I mean, there are people who are graduating from university and planning their graduations a few months ago with rosy futures in lots and lots of countries. And now all of those hopes are dashed for so many people. What's your advice to young people entering the workplace?
So I think you're right that for people who are entering the workplace right now, the impact of the pandemic and its immediate aftermath is going to make things tougher. But I guess my advice, my hope for anybody starting out right now would be, don't be deterred by that. The world is still full of enormous opportunity, and the world is going to be what people like you make it to be. And now, if you look on a number of parameters, the potential of things to be improved further. We've seen a huge improvement in lots of areas of, life expectancy, health outcomes, and so forth in the 20th century. We can mess huge things up in the 21st century, climate change being an obvious one. But there are many areas where if we get things right, we've got a huge amount of technology we can harness. We've got a huge amount of scientific progress we can harness. It's that generation. It's your kids. It's my kids. It's the people who are entering the workforce right now who are going to shape this 21st century. And I genuinely believe in the mantra of The Economist of individual freedom and open markets. And I have a huge belief that when smart people put their minds to trying to solve problems and, we harness that, we can make huge progress. And so I would encourage everybody who was starting out now, who has decades ahead of them, to go into a line of work that you are really passionate about, give it your all, and do your part to try and make the 21st century as great a century as it really could be. I mean, I'm absolutely not trying to be patronizing, but I do. I'm very jealous.
It sounds
of people
optimistic.
I am optimistic.
Right. Except that based on what you said earlier, you're not advising people to go into the pub business.
Well, I'm not. Well, depends how much you like your beer, right? But maybe someone's going to reinvent a pub. People are still going to like drinking beer. People are still going to like hanging out with their friends. So let's figure out a way that you can do that in a, socially safe post-pandemic environment. Someone's going to figure it out. And then you and I can go there.
Well, I hope so. And there's one member of the Supreme Court of the United States who definitely wants to be able to drink beer. You went to boarding school.
I did, yeah.
And that was a formative experience for you. And you said once that being at that school gave you the, quote, sense of being capable of anything, end quote. Should I have sent my kids to boarding school? And how formative experience of that was that for you?
Oh, that's a really, you've really done your homework. And that's a very, let me put this into context. I grew up in Shropshire, which is a very rural part of England, on a farm kind of in the middle of nowhere. And that was the sort of backdrop against which I went to boarding school. And I did really enjoy it. And for me, it was great. It's not necessarily the greatest experience for everybody. And I think you can have, a terrific education in all manner of different schools. But for me, that environment was terrific. It was also part of the other kind of, and I think I've talked about this before, but the other sort of formative experience I had was even before going off to that school was when I was elementary school between the ages of 7 and 11, when I went and spent 3 months between Christmas and Easter every year staying with my grandmother, my mum is German, and my grandmother lived on Lake Constance in the south of Germany. And I would leave my English primary school and go and spend weeks going to the local state school in Germany. And that was actually an incredibly formative experience too. I mean, it cemented, German was my first language, and it meant that I could read and write as well as speak it. But it was at a very, very young age, gave me a sense of how different people in a different society, going to school as a 7-year-old in Germany was very different to going to school in rural Shropshire. And so that was as much a kind of formative educational experience. So I guess from all of that, I take, and I'm sort of boring on this, and my kids, are fed up with me ranting on about it, but I basically believe in grabbing every opportunity you can. And I have, professionally at least, only ever regretted things I haven't done.
Where do you get your news? I presume you don't just read The Economist. And when you read other things, because of your job, are you reading them as if they're competition, or are you also, like the rest of us, reading things for edification and knowledge and understanding? How do you separate those things?
Well, I hope that those are not in juxtaposition, actually. I mean, I hope both, right? I think of, you know, when I read really good articles in other newspapers and magazines, I think, oh gosh, I wish we'd thought of that. But I also think this is a fantastic article and I've learned a lot from it. So I think I can feel both of those at the same time. I read probably much the same as you do. I mean, I use Twitter as a news source. I basically don't tweet any longer, but I read it, I quickly scan through to see what's going on. And then I often use that as a serendipitous way to come across things I might not have done. I read the newspapers you would expect me to. I try and read a sort of fairly broad range, or at least look at a broad range of other journals. You know, I read the German press, not all of it, but I kind of read through it. I'm a sort of magpie of reading. And then the other reality is that I have fantastic colleagues who are, you know, real experts in their fields, and they will point me to things that, you know, they really think I need. If I've missed something, or if there's something that they say is a really fantastic piece on something that I might not have come across, then they point me to it.
Well, that sounds very lovely and high-minded, but do you have any guilty pleasures? Do you read what we call tabloids?
This is getting like the, you know, when Theresa May was asked if she'd ever done anything wrong, and she said,
I have to confess, when me and my friends sort of used to run through the fields of wheat, the farmers weren't too pleased about that.
Sure. you're just trying to get me some. Of course, I read all manner of things. You know, less high-minded, and I'm perfectly capable of reading really good tabloids. Tabloids have the best headlines in the world.
Thank you again for becoming a member of Cafe Insider. Listen to the Cafe Insider podcast every Tuesday with Anne Milgram and me, and stay tuned every Thursday.